About 50 years ago, actually, that there was an American writer, American journalist, American cultural critic of sorts by the name of Henry Louis Mencken, who wrote this in some writings of his that was eventually included in a collection of his notebooks titled Minority Report. Here's what he says. He says, the chief contribution of Protestantism, okay, that's a big fancy word for the majority of Christian churches today. Chances are, if you've been to a church in this area that wasn't a Catholic church, chances are it was a Protestant church. We're a Protestant church, okay? It's a big fancy word for that. He says this, the chief contribution of Protestantism to the human thought is its massive proof that God is a bore. Now, this critique was written some years ago, and it's written in a collection of his titled Minority Report, but unfortunately, here's what worries me. What I'm afraid of is this, that this curmudgeonly opinion of his, I'm afraid that it may not be the Minority Report today. I worry that it might just be the Majority Report. I worry that it might be, or that it might slowly become the popular opinion that God is a bore. So many people have been turned off to church. So many people have been turned off to God, in all honesty, but by dry or lifeless services of music and of teaching, and by the droning voices of people who sit in the pews who chose to show up for the morning, right? You ever been to a church like this? You show up for the morning, and the pastor maybe sends a greeting that says, "The Lord be with you," and then everybody back in unison, they say, "And also with you." Right? You're sitting there going like, well, man, these people are pretty jazzed to be here this morning, right? And then you settle in, and before everything is said and done, you're not quite sure what it is that you just sat through, and you're not quite sure that you have any plans to go back, right? Somehow everybody knew that they were in unison in the same kind of lifeless voice supposed to say, and also with you. Now, here's the thing. I'm not trying to poke fun at any kind of churches. I'm really not. I really do want to be a champion of the local church everywhere, because I believe that the local church, when it's working right, I really do believe that it is the hope of the world. I'm just saying, I've experienced this for myself. I've experienced just, you know, kind of lifeless, kind of empty, kind of going through the motions, irrelevant church experiences that, you know, have made me kind of feel like, yeah, I don't know if I'm coming back to this, right? I've experienced this. I think you've experienced this. I think your neighbors and I think your friends and your coworkers have experienced this before. And I think it's one of the reasons that it's not the norm today. It's not the norm that people have had a good experience in church. I think it's one of the reasons that church isn't always a place today that people want to be. And it's one of the reasons, however much this is true, it's one of the reasons that we are dead set on working to create a different kind of experience here. When it comes to the experience created here, when it comes to every environment that we create here, for you, for your kids, everything we do, there's one word that describes what it is that we are shooting for. And that word is this: irresistible. Irresistible. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to tell you more about what that means to us. I want to tell you more about why that's so important to us as we wrap up this series. It's been a 3-week series that we have called This Is Us. What we've tried to do is we've tried to paint the best picture we can of what we do and why we do it the way we do here at Mid-Current Church. We think it's important for you to know. And so we've started out this new year talking about the life of this church, this brand new church. We've taken 3 weeks now to let you know what it is that we're all about, how our heart beats, what makes us tick. We want to let you know what we're all about and why we do what we do. And really, when it comes to what we are all about, it really comes down to this. We want to be a church that reaches more people for Jesus. Right, more of your neighbors, more of your friends, more of your coworkers, more of your dentists, and more of your favorite waiters and you know, baristas and bartenders around town. We want to reach more people for Jesus, and we want to teach people to live more like him. We really think that this world would be a better place if more of us followed the example that Jesus set for us. We want to reach more people for Jesus and teach people to live more like him. And I've said from the start that if we're going to reach people that no one is reaching, which I think is happening today, right? It's not the norm that people want to be in church. It's not the norm that churches are reaching more people. So I've said this from the start, that if we're going to reach people that no one is reaching, we have to be willing to do things that no one is doing. If we want to reach people that no one is reaching, we have to do things that no one is doing. Now, that may sound a little bit like a blank check. You can do whatever you want. It may sound a little bit like a blank check, and in some ways, it is a blank check, but in many ways, it's not just a blank check. Something still has to keep us in check. Something has to keep us on track. Something has to keep us pointed in the right direction, in the direction we wanted to go. And so what we've done is we've identified six values that we think will help us do just that. We've identified six values that we think will keep us pointed in the right direction. We've identified six values that we are fully committed to in every single thing that we do. In this series, This Is Us has been designed to tell you all about those. In week one, I talked about our commitment to be both excellent and authentic. Right? We take seriously the responsibility to be the best. We want to be the best. We take seriously the responsibility to be the best at everything we say and do, but to also mean everything that we say and do, to be who we appear to be, to actually genuinely care about you, the people that walk through our doors. That's excellence and it's authenticity, right? All of this that we do here, all of this is not just some kind of performance or some kind of show just because we try to do it well. Nor is it always all of this, nor is what we do in church, nor is it always pleasing to God or to others just because we mean well, but we do it poorly, right? And I've seen both. And so here at Mid-Current Church, we want to be both excellent and authentic. We want to care about excellence and authenticity at the same time. We said it like this, that we want to offer to God and to others the very best of our abilities. In everything we do, we want to offer to God the very best of our abilities and the very best of our hearts. It's excellence and it's authenticity. Last week, I spoke about our fierce commitment to be both faithful and approachable. Right? As a church, as individuals, we want to be faithful and approachable. In some places, you'll find, in some churches, maybe you find that one takes the lead. Right? But I said here, I want us to be about both. If we're going to teach people to live more like Jesus, then we actually have to be faithful to the teaching of Jesus. Teaching that was God-inspired, we heard last week. The teaching that was actually meant for our good and meant for our benefit. But at the very same time, if we're actually going to reach more people for Jesus, if we're going to reach people that no one is reaching, if we're going to have all of this make a difference for somebody, make a difference for someone in our life, make a difference for someone in our community, and we said this, we can't be weirdos when it comes to this stuff, right? So sometimes we can be so, I'll just say it, sometimes we can be so churchy, sometimes Christians and churches can be so churchy that people, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, they can't engage with us. They can't even talk with us, that they can't even hang around us or be friends with us. That's what being approachable is all about. The goal is that as a church and as individuals, because this is important in our individual lives, in our personal lives too, it's important that we work hard to not only draw closer to God, but to draw closer to others, in a way that we would draw others closer to us. When we work hard to be faithful in our personal lives, when we work hard to be a good friend, a good neighbor, a good teammate, a good classmate, a good coworker, good things happen. When we work hard to be faithful and devoted and steadfast in our personal lives, and to be the best friend, the best neighbor we can be, good things happen. It's the result of being fully both faithful and approachable. It's being someone who cares deeply about what God says, and deeply about who God has placed around us, who God has placed in our sphere of influence. It's faithful and it's approachable. That brings us to today and to this idea that we would be what? Irresistible. That we would be irresistible. We're committed to, we're working to be irresistible. We're working hard to create, and we want you to help us create a church that is irresistible, environments that are irresistible, a place that where you want to be, that you want your friends to be. It's what we're working hard to do here. I know we're only, you know, like a year old as a church, but it is my honest goal. I'm being serious here. It is my honest goal that Mid-Current Church would be the place to be. on a Sunday morning in the St. Croix Valley. As time goes on, as we go on, I really want this place to be the talk of the town. I want people, near and far to be drawn to us, to be drawn to this place. That's my goal. That's my hope. I want people to be drawn to what it is that we do here. But here's the thing. Simply drawing a crowd, it's easy. Right, drawing a crowd only is easy. We can use flashy lights and glitzy videos, and we can fire up the band, and we can give away free bagels and donuts on pegboards, and we can give away free game day prize packages, and people will come. People will show up, and I want that. I really do. I mean, I want to have to add more chairs. I want people to come. I want to have to think about, man, how do we fit everyone in this space in the weeks and the months to come? I want to be forced to start thinking about what building or what place or what home is next for us, right? This building is awesome, but it won't be home for forever, right? I want to be forced to have to think about, man, what do we got to do next, right? So if you're talking about drawing a crowd, I'm in for that. I want that here. But that can't be the only thing that we're about. So yes, I want to be irresistible in everything we do. I want to be irresistible as a church, irresistible as people. But there's another piece to this. I also want to be a church that is influential. Right? I actually want to do good in lives of people around us. I actually want us to do meaningful things in the community, in the world of which we are a part. It's irresistible, and it's influential, right? If people show up here, which I want, if people show up here but don't leave in some way encouraged, in some way empowered, in some way inspired or uplifted or impacted for the better, then this is all for nothing, right? If we engage in this community, right? When people in this community interact or engage with us and they don't walk away with some glimpse, some sense of who God is, what he's all about, some glimpse of his love for the world, then this is all for nothing. But I don't want to draw a huge crowd only to do and to say nothing of any spiritual significance. But at the same time, I don't want to do and say everything of spiritual significance to an empty room or just to a small group of people who only want to huddle up and never let anybody else into what we've got going on. Right? So we want to be both. We want to be irresistible, that people would be drawn here, and we want to be influential, genuinely doing good in the lives and in the communities that God has placed around us. Irresistible, influential. I want to talk about those this morning. We'll start with irresistible, right? You might be thinking, isn't that a little bit too much for a church to be talking about being irresistible? Can a church say that it's really committed to being irresistible? Maybe you think, I think that's one step too far. I don't. In fact, the New Testament, right, that's all the letters and all the writings that we have from the people who lived in that day, right? The New Testament, it contains numerous encouragements and reminders that Christians and churches should be making a memorable mark, making the good news of Jesus attractive in every way, irresistible. Maybe. Okay, here's one. Paul, he's the very first church planner. He's the guy that we've been, kind of tracing his footsteps. He's writing a letter to a partner of his named Titus. It's where we get the name of the book in the New Testament, Titus. Okay, Paul's writing to Titus to encourage him in his leadership with the people that are under his care. And he's writing to Titus about really the conduct or the behavior of the people who know and follow Jesus. And he lists out all the ways that they really should be going about what it is that they do. And at the end of it all, he tells them why. Right? He's listing out for every kind of person, for everybody. He's saying, hey, here's what we need to be about. Here's what they need to be about. And then he says, why? So that, Paul writes to Titus, here's what they got to be about. Why? So that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, what? Attractive. That's not my paraphrase of it. I didn't kind of, fudge that or manipulate it, right? He says, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive, right? You think it's not our job to make the teaching about God attractive? Think again. Okay, here's another one. I like this one. Another letter that Paul writes, this one to a church in the city of Corinth. He writes to his people. He writes to the church there and reminds them of this. It's 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul writes them. He says, "But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma," pay attention to that, who uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him, that's God everywhere, of Jesus everywhere. Then he says this, verse 15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. We are the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Some of these translations say that we're to be a Christ-like fragrance. Okay, my translation, the Sten Carlson translation, would be we're to be a Christ-like perfume, a Christ-like cologne. Okay, and really, there's only one reason why people wear perfume. There's really only one reason why people wear a cologne. Makes you smell good, right? I mean, it's not like it's healthy for you. It's not like it makes you look any better. It's not like it helps you lose weight. It's not like a perfume or cologne is like some kind of moisturizer for your baby face, right? It has really one purpose that when people walk by, they would think, he smells good. And really, Paul is reminding his people here that what we do as followers of Jesus, it should have the same effect. That when people come in contact with us, they should say, he smells good. Right? I like what they do. I like who they are. I like what she, I really like what they're all about. That's what Paul is trying to say. We're supposed to be the pleasing aroma. When people walk by, they say, I like that. I like them. I like those people, right? This matters. This matters to the world. This matters to the people that we come in contact with every day. It matters to the people that walk through our doors here. In fact, I read a fascinating article this week about the customer satisfaction strategy of Scandinavian Airlines. Okay, it's known as SAS. Their strategy is described by former CEO Jan Carlson. Okay, so we got a Swedish company and a woman whose last name is Carlson. They're Swedish and Carlson, so you know what she says is it has to be true, right? Anyone with a last name Carlson. You got to pay attention to what they say, right? Okay, here's what she says. SAS, she's talking about the airline company. SAS has 10 million passengers a year. The average passenger comes in contact with 5 SAS employees. Therefore, she says, SAS as a company consists of 50 million points of contact with the customer. She goes on to break this down even more. So she says, SAS is then 50 million moments of truth per year. 50 million, she says, unique, never to be repeated opportunities to distinguish ourselves in a memorable fashion from our competitors. Okay? Now, we're not in a competition with anybody. That's not what we're all about. But still, I love this way of thinking. I love this way of thinking for us, for the church, right? That as a church, right, with every welcome, with every smile, with every open door, with every cup of coffee, with every song, with every video, with every message, with every kid's lesson, with every cup full of animal crackers and popcorn, with every one of them, we have 80, 90, 100, 200, 400, maybe 500, I don't know. Maybe 5, 6, 700 unique, never to be repeated opportunities every Sunday to distinguish ourselves, to make the greatest first impression, to make a lasting impression with everything that we do, to create an irresistible experience, to create irresistible environments for every single man, for every single woman, for every single child that walks through our doors. That gets me excited. That gets me fired up to think about what that could mean for us on a Sunday, to have hundreds of unique, never-to-be-repeated opportunities to create a memorable and a meaningful experience here, if it's only just for the one person. If it was only just for the one person who needed that kind of experience, who needed that song, who needed that prayer, or who needed that smile, or needed that message the most. I want this place to be about the one who needed it most. rather than the many who maybe did not. Carlson, she summarizes the entire business strategy of SAS in a single sentence, referring to just the one. She says this, that SAS is the contact of one customer with one person at SAS. She summarizes their entire business like that, that SAS is the contact of one customer with one person at SAS. You could apply that to the work of the church and say that God impacts this world through the contact of one person to one Christian, right? And oftentimes that one point of contact is the church. And the question is, when that person comes in contact with us, the question is, will they leave saying, hey, I like that? Will they leave saying, you know what, I like them. I like being there. I like being here. Will they leave saying, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to come back. Will they leave and say, you know what, I think I'm going to bring somebody else with me? So at Mid-Current Church, I hope the answer is yes to all of that every single time. I hope the answer is always yes. I hope people are drawn to this place. I hope people are drawn to us. I hope people loved what they experienced here, and I hope that they want to come back, and I hope they want to bring other people with them. I want that so badly for every single person that walks through our doors. But at the end of the day, I hope they're coming back for more than just a cup of coffee. Hope they're coming back for more than just LED lights. I hope they're coming back for more than just Brian's smooth voice. I hope they're coming back for more than free bagels and giveaways. Whether someone can put their finger on it specifically or not, I hope that they want to come back. Because the impact that this place had on their life, maybe had on their soul, on their heart somewhere. I hope the experiences, I hope the environments and everything are irresistible. I hope they just, you know, feel like I can't help but want to come back. But I hope that even if they don't know, I hope there's something more that they want to come back for. I want this place to be irresistible. I want us to be irresistible, yes. But ultimately, I want to influence the spiritual climate of this entire region. I genuinely want to impact lives. I want to strengthen families. I want to build up marriages. I want to empower women. I want to raise up men to fight for the things that matter most in our lives. I want to raise up the next generation of students and next generation of leaders. I want to impact a community. I want to fill empty stomachs. I want to fill empty hearts in this community in the name of Jesus. To me, this is what it's all about. The chance to have a positive influence, an eternal influence in the lives of people, in the lives of the community, or the lives of the people around us, and in this community around us, to have an impact, right? And despite his efforts to change any method to share with people the good news about Jesus, Paul, this first church planter, Paul never lost sight of the fact that this is what it was all about, to do all this in the name of Jesus. One of the first churches, or one of the churches that Paul planted 2,000 years ago, was a little church in the city of Colossae. And the cultural and the religious winds of that day, they were blowing this little group of people back and forth, right? Back and forth, back and forth. And so Paul writes to them to keep them on track, to keep them heading in the right direction. And he writes to them with some encouragement, and he writes to them with some instructions for their new life as followers of Jesus, what it's all about. And he actually takes time at the end of this letter to them, he takes time to mention to them some instructions for them when they come together to do what we call worship. Here's what he says. He says, let the message, when you're coming together to do this thing called worship, he says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness, let it fill your lives. He says, yeah, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Then he says this, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. OK, Okay, to me, that describes in a lot of ways an irresistible environment, right? That there's a richness that fills people's lives. They're singing with gladness and thankful hearts. But then he says this, verse 17, and whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, do it as a representative of Jesus. That's the X factor in all of this to me. That's the X factor. That in everything we do, right, as excellent as it is and as excellent as we want it to be, as faithful and approachable as it may well be, as irresistible as we become, we're doing all of it. Every bit of it, we're doing it as a representative of Jesus. So I want to draw people near and far. I want to draw people to Mid-Current Church, but the goal is not to just raise the Mid-Current banner. The goal is to be a representative of Jesus, to do all of this, to do everything that we do in the name of the one who does have the power to save. But see, the truth is, I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not wise enough to single-handedly change a heart, to rescue a marriage, to heal the hurts from your past, right? To help you overcome addiction. God does that. God does those things. I can draw a crowd, but only God can change a life. We as a church, we can capture people's attention, but only God can really capture someone's heart. And so in everything that we do, we've got to do it as a representative of him. In everything we do it in the name of God's Son, Jesus. That's what it's all about, right? So we're going to work hard here at this church. From this day forward, we're going to work hard to be irresistible and to be influential at the same time. And what that means for us is this, that we're going to work hard to attract people into the church, but to impact people in the name of Jesus. That's what we want to be about. We want to attract people to this church, but impact people in the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to work hard then to draw close to God and draw close to the people that God has put in our lives. And we're going to work hard to offer to God and to offer to others the very best of our abilities and the very best of our hearts. That's what it means, all of this. That's what it means to be excellent at what we do and to be authentic in how we do it. That's what it means to commit to being faithful in our lives and to be approachable in our relationships with others. That's what it means to be irresistible as a church and to be influential in the lives of real people and in the communities in which we live. And when you put all this together, and when you put it alongside our desire to reach people that no one is reaching by doing things that nobody is doing, you get this picture that this is us. That this is what we're all about. This is us. And the truth is, we can't do this as well without you. We can't do this without the gifts and the abilities that you have. We can't do this without the gifts that are unique to you that nobody else does like you do. We can't do this without the heart that God has put inside of you that connects with and engages with somebody who is drawn to this place. We can't do this without you being committed to being faithful in your own life, being steadfast and being devoted and being the best friend and the best neighbor and the best boss and the best coworker that you can be. We can't do this unless you help us to make this the place to be on a Sunday in the St. Croix Valley. This place is not the same without you, right? Each of you fill a role and you fill a seat that only you can. We can't do this without you working right alongside of us to influence people here on a Sunday morning in the name of Jesus, to impact lives, to impact a community, to give of yourself, to give of your time, to give of whatever it is that you have as a representative of Jesus. And the cool thing, in my opinion, if you ask me, the cool thing about all of this is that by and large, we're still at the beginning. Mid-Current Church. I mean, really, we're just getting started, right? And you have a chance to jump in while we're still in the starting blocks, right? You have a chance to jump in at ground zero. You have a chance to blaze a new trail, to impact the spiritual climate of your neighborhood, of your family, of your community, of your workplace, of this entire region. You have the chance to join in with us to create something that does not exist yet, but perhaps it's something that is so desperately needed. Maybe it's something that you needed. Maybe it's something that you know someone in your life needs right now. You have the chance to be a part of it all. You have a chance to help bring it to life. You have a chance to leave your mark on this community and in this place. Really, I believe that we can do one of two things when it comes to our work in the church. We can spend our lives, you know, kind of hopping from church to church. We can, you know, wait for it to meet our needs. We can wait for the church to be just right. Wait for it to grow to or to stop growing at just the right size. We can wait till the facilities are the best or the church is the coolest or the programs are tailor-made just for us. Or we can draw a line in the sand. And we can get it through our heads that the church does not exist to meet our needs. The church does not exist for us, but for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we are the church and we exist for the world. I really believe that God is just getting started then at Mid-Current Church, and you have the opportunity to have a front row seat to it all. And the truth is, whatever is to come, whatever step is next, whatever future is in the cards for us, it won't be the same without you. And so my hope and my prayer is that you don't just sit here today, that you haven't just sat here over the last couple weeks listening to me saying, this is us. But my hope is that you'd soon raise your hand and you'd say, you know what? That is me. And I'm in. That's my hope for you, that's my hope for me, that's my hope for us. That eventually all of us would say, yeah, this is us. And this is what we want to be about. This is what I want to be about in this place, in this community. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing here, God, for what you have begun here. And we're just grateful, God, that you would ask us to be a part of it, God, that you would give us the chance to be following your lead, God, to be working here in this place. And so we ask, God, that you would empower us. We ask, God, that you would equip us. We ask that you would lead us, give us courage, give us wisdom, give us strength, give us excellence, God, give us authenticity in everything we do to really be about your work here in this place, God, your work in our neighborhoods, your work in our places of work, God. We ask that you would use us to do something new, to bring about something new here in this place, God, something that would impact an entire region, God. We're grateful for this chance we have to be together to offer songs and thanks and prayer to you, God. We're grateful for this chance to gather here in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. And we do pray all these things in the powerful name of him. And we pray these things this morning. Amen.